Morning. Good morning, Grace Christian Church family. We're glad you're with us this morning. My name is Rob Parlante. I'm a pastor here at Grace Christian Church, and we're streaming live from Manalapan Rec Center, the Cushit Pavilion, and actually we have heat in the heated pavilion. Amen. What a great blessing the Lord has provided for us. So we're preaching to you live from here. Now I want to mention to you that every week we have a worship set. We just had a wonderful time of four wonderful songs. We entered into God's presence in worship. So I encourage you to go back and listen to those songs. Amen? Amen. So this morning I'm going to preach a message I've titled, I Surrender. This idea of surrender. And I want to look at this from a spiritual perspective. A lot of times we as Christians talk about this idea of surrendering and what it means. And that's what we're going to look at today. How to surrender, and an example by Paul, how he surrendered. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. But before we get to that, I want to make mention that every week my sermon notes are on our website, njgrace.org, on our Facebook page, Grace Christian Church of Monmouth County. I want to also mention that every week we have a prayer meeting, Wednesday, 7:30 Eastern Standard Time on Zoom. So if you're interested in that, go on our Facebook page and you can find the link. And lastly, we have a page called Crisis of the Life Movement on Facebook, where we daily post wonderful truths about God's grace, our identity in Christ, the new covenant, all these wonderful truths about God's grace. Amen. Now this morning, like I said, my message is titled, I Surrender. And an author I really enjoy to read, and an author I really love to look into some of his books, is Watchman Nee, a guy named Watchman Nee. And he was a Chinese pastor from early 1900s, and passed away in jail around 1970, early 70s. He was in jail 20 years as a Christian pastor, and he was put in jail from China and died there. But wonderful truths he taught, and wonderful truths and deeper truths of the Christian life. And he had this one wonderful statement he made in his book, The Normal Christian Life, about living in the Spirit, and about giving up on self to live the Christian life. And this is what he wrote. Living in the Spirit means that I trust the Holy Spirit to do in me what I cannot do myself. It is not a case of trying, but of trusting. Not a case of struggling, but of resting in Him. I'll read it again. Living in the Spirit means that I trust the Holy Spirit to do in me what I cannot do myself. It is not a case of trying, but of trusting. Not a case of struggling, but of resting. So what's his point in living the Christian life? It's not a case of trying, but of trusting. It's not a case of struggling, but of resting. But brothers and sisters, we have this thing called flesh. We have this thing called flesh. And the definition of flesh is really patterns of living that we've developed to live independently of God. And most of us prayed to receive Christ later on in our age, whatever age. Me, I was in my mid-20s, and other people maybe later, some earlier. But we developed these patterns to live life independent of God to get through life. And this is what Paul says about the flesh versus the Spirit. He says this, but if I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, for the flesh sets the desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so you may not do the things that you please. So our struggle, really, in the Christian life is depending on, trusting in, relying on this thing called flesh, or to trust in, rely on, and depend on the Spirit and or Christ in us. Amen? That's the battle. That's the battle. It's not a case of trying, but trusting. It's not a case of struggling, but resting. And I think this is a lesson we have to learn and relearn and relearn at deeper levels as we live and walk in the Christian life. These are lessons we learn on a deeper level as we live the Christian life. And that's all of us. Nobody has arrived. And even Paul, even the Apostle Paul, had to relearn this wonderful truth. That's what I want to look at today. You know, Paul was a Pharisee. You know, Paul persecuted Christians. You know, Paul was a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, blameless, knew everything about the law. On the road to Damascus, he met Jesus. He was blinded, and he became a spokesman for the gospel soon after that, as his eyes and sight came back. Brothers and sisters, he actually saw Christ, and even he had to relearn this wonderful lesson. It's not a case of trying but trusting. It's not a case of struggling but resting. Amen? But today, at a deeper level, I want to look at a passage of Scripture, like I said, 2 Corinthians 1, 8-10, and let's see what Paul described as a pathway to godly rest and godly trust. That's the title of the message, I Surrender. So, there's going to be 3 points in today's message. The pathway to godly trust and rest that Paul lays out in these verses is there's stress in life leads to surrender, results in salvation. So 3 points. Stress or stressful situations lead to surrender, results in salvation. So I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 1, 8-10, and we'll open this time in prayer. So follow along. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively, beyond our strength, so that we would despair even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from such great peril and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. Let's bow our heads and open this time in prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for this scripture that we're looking today that shows and teaches that you don't want us to trust in ourselves, but in you. That you will deliver us in the present, and you will deliver us in the future. And then when we rest in that and we see that, our faith grows. I pray, Lord, you would speak through my lips. The Spirit would speak through my lips. Move my lips to those hearers today and would show them this truth. How are they trying to live the Christian life? Is it by self-effort or is it by relying on you? Thank you for this time in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So this concept of surrender, I want to talk about that first. Because there's a lot of misconceptions, I think, about the idea of surrender. Because if you look at the word, the definition, in the Webster's Dictionary, this is what it says about surrender. It says surrender is to cease resistance to an enemy or an opponent, submitting to their authority. Another description is the action of yielding one's person or giving up possessions to the power of another. So when we think about surrender, and we think about God, we think about God being the ultimate sovereign authority, right? He's created all things. He's sovereign God over the universe. He controls all things. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God. But this is what God has done. God has given man this thing called free will. You know, man is made up of body, soul, and spirit, and our soul is our mind, will, and emotions, and our mind and our will are decisions. It's a free will to decide. We have a will to choose and not choose. So God, even though he is sovereign, even though he's in control, God is not forcing man to make a choice. God isn't forcing man to choose him. God isn't forcing man to believe the gospel. He's not. It's man's free will. And we know the consequence of Adam and Eve exercising that free will in the garden, because once they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died spiritually. And that is the condition of us all today, brothers and sisters. We are dead in Adam from birth, from our mother. That's who we are. We need spiritual life. We need spiritual life. But we have free will to choose or not to choose. But this is what God does. God allows this idea of sowing and reaping, right? He allows this idea of us to make choices that have good consequences and choices that have poor consequences. this idea of sowing and reaping. You know, Galatians 6:8 says, for the one who sows to his flesh will from flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You know, like I said before, flesh is patterns of living that we've developed to live independently of God. This verse is saying when we sow to that, living independently, we reap more corruption. We reap more negative consequences. We reap more hardships. But when we sow to the Spirit, we reap eternal life. For salvation, we reap eternal life. And as a Christian, we reap spiritual, wonderful consequences, brothers and sisters. But you know, as a non-believer, if you don't believe the gospel, you have nothing else but to trust in than your flesh. That scripture saying, it reaps corruption. If you don't know Christ, you need to accept him. But my point is here, that the sovereign God of the universe has given man free will to choose, to reject him, to choose him, to make choices, right choices, wrong choices, good choices, bad choices. But he's up in the, you know, he's there in heaven looking down, and he's not exercising authority over us to surrender to him. He's not. He's not out to get us. He's not out to force us to surrender, but this is what he does. He shows us his grace, he shows us his kindness, and he wants us to turn to him. For example, Romans 2:4. Well, I love this verse. It says, or do you not think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. Brothers and sisters, God's grace is what leads you to a change of mind. Repentance means change of mind. A change of mind of who God is, a change of mind of the gospel message, a change of mind about who we are in Christ, a change of mind of what source to live from, a change of mind to understand our flesh profits nothing. That's what God is doing. He is giving and showing us his kindness and grace so we would rely on him, brothers and sisters. But so surrender, as I kind of summarize, surrender in the Christian life isn't about God pressuring us from an authoritative way to surrender to him and say, I give up. No, it isn't. This is the type of surrender. It's a surrender of self-reliance to live the Christian life. It's a surrender of saying, I'm no longer going to trust in and rely on my flesh to live the Christian life. And this is our daily choice. So now, let's look at point one. About stress, the pathway that leads to trust and rest. This is what Paul says in chapter 1, verse 8 in 2 Corinthians. He says this, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia. Now listen now, he says, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength so that we despaired even to life. He said, I don't want you to be unaware of our affliction which came to us in Asia. Now, interestingly, when I was studying this week for this passage, most of the time on Paul's journeys, we can track it to something in Acts. The missionary journey he was on, we can track the time frame and the dates and stuff that he was there. But in this case, it says he was in Asia. There's no scripture reference in Acts to tell us that he was in Asia. So we don't know what happened to him in Asia. It's speculation. And many commentaries speculate and say it could have been this a health issue that he was burdened with excessively. It could have been a persecution by the Jews. It says he was beaten in 2 Corinthians 11:24. We don't know. We don't know. But we just know this. It's an excessive, difficult, stressful situation that he was in Asia. He said he was burdened excessively. Completely overwhelmed, beyond his strength, beyond the ability to endure, despaired even to life. You know, wondered if he would ever go on living. Brothers and sisters, that is one stressful, difficult situation, is it not? Can you relate to a situation like that in your life? I guess the older we get, I guess it's easier to make that case. We have, yeah. We have. Can you relate to it? Are you in that situation right now? Are you in a situation that you're burdened, overwhelmed, feel like there's no hope beyond your strength and beyond your ability. Now, was Paul in this situation because he depended on his flesh or he made some wrong choice? We don't know. I say probably not. I say probably Paul was bringing the gospel to Asia. God directed him to go to Asia, and he was persecuted. He was doing the will of God, and the world system came upon him, came against him to stop that. So this overwhelmingly, you know, situation was probably not due to something he did, not something due to his choice, not due to something that, you know, he did right, did wrong, rather. It was from the system we live in. But brothers and sisters, sometimes we're burdened excessively, completely overwhelmed by our wrong choices. Right? The result of us sowing to the flesh. The result of us living independently of God. We sometimes, many times, still experience burdens excessively. But here is the godly secret. Here is the secret, brothers and sisters, about the Christian life. If you can make the life work, relying on and trusting in yourself, if you can rely on and make life work, trusting in your flesh, living independently of God, it would work. But the point is, it doesn't work because God wants you to rely on him. Amen. This is what he says in John. Jesus says this in John 6, 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. Now listen, I love these words. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Did you catch that? The flesh profits nothing. Meaning, it profits nothing to save you if you're unsaved. It profits nothing to give you spiritual life if you don't have that. But once you're a Christian, it profits nothing to live the Christian life. Do you see how important this is? Jesus tells us the flesh profits nothing. But when we rely on it as a Christian, and even a non-Christian, and we trust in it, and we're following it, what happens? Consequences. Overwhelmed. Beyond our strength, beyond the ability to endure. You know what? Wondering if we could even go on in this situation that we're in. And many times this is self-induced, sisters. We might think we're doing the right thing, but we're actually sowing to our flesh. So did you ever think about the current situation you're in right now? I don't know what it is a result of you sowing to your flesh. Relying on your flesh instead of the Spirit. Because that's what God wants to show us many times, is that we are relying on that and it profits nothing. And that leads to this thing called surrender. We'll get to that. This leads to this thing called surrender. You're burdened so excessively, overwhelmed, that you just need to give it all to Him. We'll talk about that in a second. But right now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you never believed in him as your personal savior. If you ever believe he died for your sins and rose again, I asked a young man that yesterday, early 20s, and I said, do you believe in Jesus? He goes, what do you mean by believe? I said, do you believe he rose again and died for your sins? And the young man said, yes. But still he's struggling to understand. But what if you don't know him, receive him now. He will give you life because your flesh profits nothing. But if you're saved, brothers and sisters, and you're exceedingly burdened and overwhelmed with life, it's probably because you are sowing to the flesh, relying on the flesh, and trusting in self. You're trying instead of trusting. You're struggling instead of resting. Okay? So, stressful situations lead to surrender. We'll talk about surrender now. That's verse 9 in 2 Corinthians. It says, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves but in God who raises the dead. Okay? Indeed, we felt like we were under a sentence. He says, we felt like we had a sentence of death within ourselves. Now, that's an interesting verse, right? I feel like I'm in a sentence of death within myself. Other versions say he felt like maybe perhaps I was on death row or sentenced to death. That's the idea here, okay? Burdened so tremendously, he felt like he was under a sentence of death. Now, I learned this many years ago, and I want to explain this right now to you. You know, God works in ways we don't see. And this idea of having a sentence of death, sometimes our choices makes us feel like that. But God uses it. And you know how he uses it? Because he shows us that this sentence of death shows us that the kind of thing, the kind of experience Christ went through on the cross. Okay? I call it a cross experience. In other words, this sentence of death, have you ever felt like things were so overwhelmed in your life that you were on the cross being crucified? I see people shaking their head, yes. Have you felt like you were on the cross with him being crucified? Have you? That's this feeling, Paul says. We had the sentence of death within ourselves, brothers and sisters. Have you ever felt this way? Brothers and sisters, God does this many times to show us what he experienced, and then a deeper truth is revealed to us that we were on the cross with him, crucified with him, and resurrected with him. Amen? That is like a cross experience. That is like saying, I had a sentence of death within myself. That's what Paul is saying. He felt like, he probably felt like, that he was being crucified, brothers and sisters. Have you ever felt like that? There's only one way out. There's only one way out. And God is showing you that your flesh profits nothing. There's only one way out. That is to surrender yourself to God. That is to say, I give up all my rights to you. That is to say, God, you run my life. And I'm going to get into more detail on that in a sec. What's our choice? To trust in ourselves, to trust in our flesh, to trust in self-reliance, or to trust and rest in God, amen, who raises the dead. That's the Christian life. That's the deeper truths we learn day in and day out. God wants us not to struggle, but to rest. Not to try, but to trust. Amen. Now, I've talked many years and many times I've shared my testimony. And I always talk about my worst year of my life is 1999. That was one of the worst years of my life because God showed me that year that up to that point, I was in my late 30s, that everything I was doing, living the Christian life, being religious, being a husband, working for a company, my identity was in the company, doing all these things, thinking I'm doing the right things, and God showed me, Rob, everything you're doing is self-motivated, it's from your flesh, you are not relying and trusting in me. Because I realized, brothers and sisters, I can't live my life. Only Christ can live it in me, and only Christ can live it through me. That is a wonderful truth. You cannot live the Christian life. Sisters, you can't. Only Christ and the Holy Spirit can live it in you and through you. But we keep trying and we keep trying and we keep trying and we keep trying until we're burdened excessively. We're overwhelmed. We can't endure. We feel like we're sentenced to death because God is showing us it doesn't work. Surrender to me. I realized in 1999 I couldn't live my life. Only Christ could live it in me and through me. I needed Christ to be my life. And I basically said, God, you know, I can't run it. I can't do it. I can't do anything anymore. I give up, in a sense. You run my life for me, in me, and through me. So I don't know where you are today. I don't know where you're at in your spiritual journey. I don't know where you are today. But brothers and sisters, if you feel the way Paul described, if you're experiencing the things Paul experienced, maybe God is saying to you today, son, daughter, surrender to me. Son, daughter, stop trusting in and relying on yourself. Son, daughter, stop trusting and relying on your flesh. Son, daughter, stop living independently of me. If he's doing that, and you sense that, and the Spirit's tugging at your heart right now, saying, yeah, that sounds like me, I'm going to read a prayer. I'm titling it a surrender prayer. It's a wonderful prayer about just giving up, living your life on your own, giving it to him. So I'm going to read this prayer slowly. And if this is you, if this describes you, pray along with me. Jesus, I surrender it all to you. Everything that I am, have, and will ever be, I take my hands off and give it to you. I believe that I was crucified and risen with you, and I'm seated with you in the heavenlies. I believe I am a new creation in you. I trust you to live your life in me and through me, and to do what I can't do, to quit what I can't quit, and to start what I can't start. My life is in your hands, Lord Jesus. I entrust my life to you in your precious name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, brothers and sisters, that's a turning point for you to start and be living a vibrant Christian life. You know what? In verse 9 also says that he, Paul, wouldn't trust in himself, but to trust in God who raises the dead. You know, that's the whole point. Not trusting in selves, but trusting in him. And that's a daily choice. That's a wonderful choice. We finally surrender. Something else happens, and that is salvation. A pathway to salvation. And salvation means deliverance. And this is 2 Corinthians 1, verse 10. It says this. Okay, God raised the dead. Verse 10. Who delivered us from such a great peril of death, and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You know, that word deliverance, the idea of deliverance is salvation. You know, we talk about salvation in the Bible, the Greek word, the root is really deliverance. So being saved means being delivered. Amen? In this case, he's saying in his situation, he was delivered. He will be delivered at the present. And then he says at the end, yet will deliver us in the future. So what's Paul saying? That God delivered him from that circumstance. He surrendered it all to him. He's delivering him in the present from situations. And in the future, he will deliver him. Brothers and sisters, that's how we build our faith, amen? That's how we grow in faith, amen? When we see God work in delivering us the first time, or in the beginning of our walk, we see him keep continuing to do it, to do it, and do it. Brothers and sisters, if you're burdened excessively, he wants you to surrender to him. Amen? That's salvation. That is deliverance. Amen? You know what? Paul was delivered. Now, how does that look in the Christian life? And this is something I've found I want to share with you. How does it look? What does it feel like? What is it like to surrender spiritually, say, God, take over my life? This is how it looks. A heavy burden is lifted in you in the way you live the Christian life. That heavy burden is gone. It's lifted. It's off your shoulders. Amen? Life flows instead of being pushed. In other words, life just flows. Life just moves forward. It's not struggling and trying. It's not struggling and forcing things. You don't force things. It flows. Amen? That's what it looks like to surrender. and being delivered. You know, things your flesh thought, here's another one, things that your flesh thought were important before, now are not important. You realize, God shows you, I didn't really need that. I didn't really need this. I didn't really need that relationship. I didn't really need that company. I didn't really need that situation. No, it's replaced with godly things. He directs you to something new. But you were holding on so tight, and he said, I have to show you to surrender your life, and I'll show you the right path to take. Amen? Anxiety in life turns to calmness and peace. And then weakness turns into godly strength. Brothers and sisters, that's all by saying, I let go, I let God, God run my life. Amen? You know what? That's what he wants you to do. Life gets better and better. Things calm down. Things get peaceful. Things get more joyous. And you live a more vibrant Christian life. But many Christians don't take that path. Many Christians don't say, God, take over my life. Many Christians don't say, I let go, I let God. Many Christians don't rely on and trust in Christ and the Holy Spirit as a source of life. But they keep trying. They keep struggling. They keep trying. They keep struggling. They keep trying. They keep struggling instead of trusting and resting. You know what? That's an issue. I pray God will reveal these wonderful truths to you today. That's Paul learned, okay? It's not about that. Living in the Spirit means that I trust the Holy Spirit to do in me what I cannot do myself. It's not a case of trying, but of trusting. Not a case of struggling, but of resting in Him, sisters. Not about your flesh. It's about being in the Spirit. So in conclusion, I surrender. Have you surrendered? Have you given up trying to live the Christian life from your own resources, from your own flesh, from your own self? Have you given up? God wants you to give up if you haven't, brothers and sisters. Because the choices you're making are creating stress in your life, whatever it is. You're being overwhelmed by these choices because God is showing you that choice you made and the consequences of that choice wasn't what he wanted, and he wants you to rely on him. Amen. And the world system around us will continue to crash in and crash in and crash in until we finally realize we can't control life. Amen. Then we surrender. It's a point in time in life, and I think people do this several times. They say, I give up. Have you given up? Have you given up trying to live the Christian life? You can't. Only he can, Jesus Christ, in you and through you. You know what? And if you have a feeling of being crucified or having a death sentence in yourself, that's the point where God is saying, just surrender to me. And when we do that, he delivers us every time, brothers and sisters. And he will do it in the present, in situations that come upon us in the future. It's all about trusting and relying on him. Amen? So surrender is the way for deliverance. Amen? Surrender is the way to an abundant Christian life. Now I'm going to close this in prayer, and we'll see you next time. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful. Paul gives us an example. He was under great burden, great stress, overwhelmed, even to death. And he realized that it wasn't about trusting in him, but trusting in you. I pray, Lord, we would understand that simple truth that is simple to state, but hard sometimes to do. I pray, Lord, we take our hands off, tightly gripped of all these things we think we need, and just give them up to you and surrender our lives to you to be used by you so you can live your life in us and through us. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.